about.
It was the 3rd of September, that day I'll always remember. Yes, I will.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
At the Waterfront Village with my friend, the zombie, Jonathan. You're looking good. Jonathan just got an awesome face paint job. What do you think?
I like turtles.
All right. You're great, zombie. Good times here at the Waterfront Village. Open for the next 11 days.
Kevin and B show is my life's inspiration of to be what I am inside me. They just bring it out and project what I have, what I got.
And now. Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin DeBicho. It is Wednesday, the 3rd of September. What's going on?
How many people can we turn gay today with our devil's music? What do you think?
I think we already turned them all, didn't we?
I think we're running at about 50%.
Was that it?
Yeah.
I thought we were doing better than that.
I think so.
Okay.
Well, let's turn it up louder then if that's what it takes. Clearly, we're on a mission.
Hey, welcome into an all-new Kevin and Bean show, as Kevin mentioned, for a Wednesday. Before we get started, it's been a long time since we've done this phone topic. I'd like to suggest that we do it again soon. People who have fist fights break out at their wedding.
Oh.
Love it.
Or at a wedding that you're a guest at, if a fight breaks out, that's how you know you got an awesome wedding going on, right? Look, nobody likes going to weddings.
Anything short of a fight is a disaster of a wedding.
It's boring, right? I mean, how many times have you gone to a wedding and you've just been miserable and you've gotten home and you could think of no good came from that wedding except for maybe the open bar. That may be it. And some cute bridesmaids. But other than that, but if there were a fight, if you could be guaranteed a fight, you'd look forward to weddings.
That's true. You'd want
to see what was happening.
That is true.
Well, this time we take you to Pittsburgh, a place called Station Square. Three men were arrested after a big fight there early Monday morning. It was a Sunday night wedding. Pittsburgh police spokesperson Sonia Toller said a fight involving people from a wedding party broke out around 12:55 a.m. on Monday. They were called to the Gateway Clipper dock area at Station Square. When police arrived, they found two men covered in blood. So far, so good. What happened was a woman who works for the Gateway Clipper told police that the groom, his name is Mark Williams, 33 years old, was hitting on her, became touchy-feely with her as she worked the wedding party. The groom.
That's great.
Yes, the groom.
Wow.
Touchy-feely with a woman who worked the party. She reportedly told her boyfriend that the groom also tried to pour alcohol down her throat, even though she was pregnant.
What?
Whoa.
So the groom is hitting on someone who's working his own wedding, who's a pregnant lady. He's touchy-feely with her and now trying to pour alcohol down her throat. She called her boyfriend, Tyler Smith, age 20, so he could come pick her up. When he arrived, he allegedly confronted Mr. Williams about his actions, and a physical altercation began. Police say that Williams' brother, David, 35, then got involved and became aggressive when police arrived. A fourth man, Brian Taylor, punched his hand through the front passenger window of a car nearby. He was taken to UPMC Mercy Hospital for treatment. So now you've got a brawl, basically.
The story has everything.
When you start getting this many people involved. By the way, Brian Taylor, the man who punched his hand through the front passenger window of a car, turns out to be a member of the local school board. David Williams, the groom's brother, was an off-duty Pennsylvania state trooper.
Excellent.
What? I thought these were all just the lowest of the low. Oh, my God.
He was off-duty at the time of the incident. Police say they are conducting an internal investigation, but apparently one of the things that he's being charged with is obstructing law enforcement because he ignored various commands from police to stay back. So he ended up getting arrested as well. He's facing charges of aggravated assault and resisting arrest.
Somebody got arrested at a wedding. Another topic. I like that.
That'd be a great idea, too. So it doesn't go into further details about how the rest of the night went, but I am assuming that the groom probably spent his wedding night in jail, I would think, if this is 1 o'clock in the morning when this fight breaks out.
I wouldn't doubt it, yeah.
I think the bride went back to the wedding suite alone, I think.
And then filed papers?
Yeah, no kidding.
What am I doing?
This is a bad star tool.
Seriously, what am I doing? So there you go. Way to represent Steeler Nation. Your people are doing it up.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Micho, shall we?
You know, for a second out there, I thought you were sober. Then I realized you're probably on some drug I've never even heard of.
How dare you? Sunset Strip Music Fest, we have tickets for.
Great.
This morning. We also have, thank God for Beer Mug's tweets. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
Because the Dodgers would be lost without him.
He is taking full credit for their making the playoffs this year.
Yeah, he is. So we got that. We got Landon Donovan from the LA Galaxy on the program
Ooh,
today.
Landon.
And we have Jim Mora, who is the head coach of UCLA football. Got that coming up as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. It's the world famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Am I on?
Yep.
All right. Time for that guy who tells you things here on the Kevin and Bean Show. My mic was out of the last possible microsecond at the end of your sentence, right?
But it
I wasn't imagining it.
No.
Okay. Okay.
Having said that, it was on.
Okay.
Back to you.
We talked about Dancing with the Stars, and we were speculating on who would be the next cast members of that reality show. Well, it looks like we got some of them right, some of them wrong. Now we know for sure who's going to be on. We talked about the Olympian Lolo Jones. We mentioned she was going to be on.
Right.
And one of the Robertson's kids from Duck Dynasty.
Excellent.
She's going to be on. Antonio Sabato Jr.
Okay.
We mentioned her. Randy Couture. I know we talked about him.
Janelle, he was the only name we were excited about, right?
Janelle Parrish, one of the only ones we recognized. Janelle Parrish from Pretty Little Liars. But now, oh, now the big names have been rolled out. Now
right.
they would
Ralph
hold him
Garman.
Back. No, he's not on it this season. Bethany Mota, she's on it.
Oh, she's
are
the,
you? How did they get her?
I have
no idea.
She's the little 13-year-old who pitched in the Little League World Series, right?
Wine. No. She neither pitches nor makes wine.
She's the former Secretary of State of the United States?
Here is her media tag, YouTube star, Bethany Mota. So apparently she's a YouTube star.
I wonder if she was on The Amazing Race.
I wonder that too, Lisa, constantly.
They had these YouTube stars.
Right.
That were on there, and I don't remember if that was her name or not.
I take umbrage with the phrase YouTube star.
Yeah.
Well, she posted a lot of videos on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
Is that what she did?
She's a teenage girl from California. I make videos about hair, makeup, fashion, and DIY projects.
There you go.
That's what
she does.
That's
all you need to know.
All of that sounds terrible.
That's what I'm saying.
She's not even the Bethany with the one arm. That's the only one we care about.
Sure.
The shark one.
Shark one.
Shark
Shark Bethany, as she's known.
Yeah.
Alfonso Ribeiro from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Carlton.
Wow.
Does the Carlton dance.
Wow.
Race car driver Michael Waltrip.
They're making it impossible to not watch, aren't they?
Actress Leah Thompson. Back to the Future's Leah Thompson.
Who is she?
She was Marty McFly's mom in Back to the Future.
Okay.
And the star of Short Circuit.
All right,
right?
Good.
Wasn't that her?
I don't believe she was in Short. That was Ally Sheedy, I believe, was in Short Circuit.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
She was in Caroline in the City. She had her own sitcom called
You'd recognize her, Kevin. She was on TV a lot.
All right.
Betsy Johnson, 73-year-old designer Betsy Johnson, who, by the way, is crazy, so that helps.
Oh, okay.
There's
that
some
does
interest
help.
There. And 76-year-old Tommy Chong will be dancing with a cloud of smoke around him, I'm guessing. So there you go, people. There's your lineup. Set your DVRs now.
Some of those will be dancing longer than others.
That is possible.
Yeah.
Alec Baldwin got into it with another paparazzo. Last Sunday, got into another fight. Apparently, he spotted a photographer that has called his wife, Hilaria, an assortment of names, according to sources in the past, and promptly ran up to him and put him in a headlock at a park in the Hamptons. Police were called and called for backup, and it was a big hullabaloo. But the photographer, a guy named Matt Agudo, apparently declined to press charges, and all is well. Till the next time. Till round two.
Seems like this happens about once a week.
He does not like the photographers. No. I know that much. For sure.
I don't blame them, by the way.
Yeah, they're a pain in the ass, I know. But you can't go around putting people in headlocks.
I agree. Yeah. No, I'm not justifying his behavior, but I certainly understand it.
PBS has announced they're doing a special about Robin Williams next Tuesday night. If you wanted to see another tribute of the late comedian. It's called Robin Williams Remembered, a Pioneers of Television special. That's one of their series over there on PBS, the Pioneers of Television, which I love. And this will be a two-hour special featuring his last full-length TV interview, exclusive interview with Pam Dauber, his Mork and Mindy's co-star, who she hasn't really spoken out about his death since he passed. But if you want to watch it, PBS next Tuesday night, you can check that out. And CeeLo Green, while we're talking about television, he has no longer have a TV show. He had a reality show called The Good Life on TBS.
He did?
Which, yeah, apparently has been canceled. Not only to the awful ratings, but I don't know if you've been following this this date rape trial that's been going on with CeeLo. He apparently slipped some E into a woman's drink.
Really?
He took advantage of her. That's the accusation. Anyway, he pled no contest on Friday to those charges. And then had the wherewithal to tweet, "People who have really been raped remember," he said, regarding the woman saying she had passed out because of the drug. It did, didn't recall all of the events of that evening, just knew what happened when she woke up. So, some people took umbrage to that tweet, and TBS decided, you know what, we don't really need to have this show on the air anymore.
You are not making this easy for us. Yeah. You are gone.
A women's rights group contacted TBS and said, rapists and rape apologists really have no place in your lineup. And they looked at the ratings and said, oh, 677,000 people tuned in for the entire run of the six-episode season. We're just going to let that go. So, CeeLo no longer has a TV show.
He's not on the current or upcoming incarnation of The Voice, but I wonder how they will handle it when it spins back around to his time in the chair.
I don't know.
I don't think it'll be his time in the chair.
I guess it depends on what he does between now and then.
Yeah. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Guitarist Steve Jones, he is 59 years old today. Steve Sciarippa, you know him from The Sopranos, he's 57. Charlie Sheen turns 49 years old today.
Winning.
Shaun White, the flatulent tomato.
Flying.
What?
The flying tomatoes is his nickname for a long time.
I'm not into those esports. He's 28 years old today. Red Foo. Hey, it's Red Foo's birthday.
Oh, Red Foo.
Oh, Red Foo. From LMFAO. He is 39 years old. And actress Rita Volk. She plays Amy on MTV's Faking It. She's 24 years old today. She's lovely and charming. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Later this hour on the Kevin DeBean Show, we'll talk to Jim Mora. He is the head coach for the UCLA Bruins with their Rose Bowl home opener happening this weekend. We'll see what the coach has to say. Right now, though, a little quiz I found interesting. I put together based on an article I read in NME, the New Musical Express.
Yep.
They wrote a piece that I thought was very entertaining, talking about music superstars and how their life is not all champagne parties on yachts, that some of them have serious first world problems to contend to. And they put together a collection of complaints that megastars have made, either in interviews or on tweets or from the stage or something like that. Things that they have complained about. First world problems.
Being in fact, interviewed by radio chuckleheads?
Yeah.
Is that on the list?
Could be one.
I'm sure some of that is the case here. Yeah. So this is I thought it'd be a fun quiz, and I'm glad that Ralph is here because Ralph is the only one who's ever worth a damn when it comes to playing these games
How
for some reason.
Dare you. These are my people. Uh-huh. Look so at them. Rejoice.
That's going to be Kevin versus Ralph versus Lisa. We'll see who wins in a game that we like to call First World
First
Problems.
World problems.
All right. So all right. I'm going to read the quote, and then I'll give you...
Speaking of first world problems, that intro is one of them.
Try that again.
First world problems. That doesn't sound right, Muggs.
That's Echo.
That's the wrong one.
That's Echo.
Do the other one.
Was it reverb? Was
reverb?
We had this whole conversation before him.
Right. Muggs convinced me. I asked for reverb. He convinced me what I wanted was Echo.
You said Echo!
I knew he wasn't sure. Okay, man. Try it again. Try it again.
All right. Do we have the other one?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a game that we like to call...
Sorry.
It's a game that we like to call First World Problems.
Yeah. Better.
Better.
It could be a little louder. But that's the effect you want.
Yeah. Kevin, why don't you try it?
Why don't I try saying it?
Yeah.
First World Problems.
Yeah, that's better.
Maybe it was my delivery.
Maybe
I wasn't strong.
I don't think you felt it.
All right. So I'm going to read the quote, and then I'll give you a choice of two internationally famous pop stars. You just have to identify which one actually made the first world problem complaint.
This game's
first
a coin flip.
World problems.
So this game's a coin flip. It's a game flip coin.
Is it?
It's a 50-50 game.
All right.
It is, but I think... But it's not random because if you're crafty, like you usually are in these games, Ralph, you do have an advantage if you're using your head.
Can I just start up front by taking Kanye West for every answer?
Well, we may be hearing from Mr. West later in the quiz.
Huh.
All right. Quote number one. You know, on a long tour, you do hear people saying they miss their pets. I never have. But last night I started really missing my dog, and it's very odd because I don't have a dog.
What?
Is that Josh Homme or Bono? Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age or Bono? You know, on a long tour, you hear people saying they miss their pets. I never have. But last night I started really missing my dog. It's very odd because I don't have a dog.
That's Josh Homme.
That's what
I think so.
He just doesn't sound like Bono.
He's just joking around.
I think we're all going Homme.
I think it's Bono.
Oh! What?
Bono is the one who said it.
Who knew he was that wacky? I didn't know he was that wacky.
Neither.
All right, next up.
First world problems.
Strong. Very good. That moment when you buy scissors, then you try to open them, but you can't because you don't have scissors.
Oh, I hate that.
What's happening?
Sounds like a
Was
bean
that
tweet.
Taylor Swift or
Was
Katy
it
Perry?
Bean?
Wait.
Taylor Swift or Katy Perry said that?
Was it Bean?
It was not Bean. I'm telling you.
Bean tweet.
It's one of your choices.
I think Katy.
I think that's too creative for Taylor. I think she's...
Yeah.
It's almost funny, so I have to say Katy Perry.
Her jokes would be more like in the Highlights magazine realm.
But then my cat played with it. Oh, my God.
It seems like we may have a three-way tie. It was Taylor Swift, actually, was the correct answer who said that.
Come on.
Really?
Someone wrote that for her.
Yeah.
All right.
You know who did? Katy Perry. She wrote it for her.
Next up. I can't believe my grandmother's making me take out the garbage. I'm rich. F this. I'm going home. I don't need this S. All right?
Okay.
Is it Kanye West or is it 50 Cent? I can't believe my grandmother's making me take out the garbage. I'm rich. F this. I'm going home. I don't need this S.
That's fitty.
Yeah, I hate to keep all jumping on the same one, but that's what I think, too.
I'm going to go the other way just to try and take a lead.
Just be that guy.
Just to finally win the game.
Yep.
And get the big prize.
Exactly. What is the prize, by the way? I forgot.
Just pride. Just played for pride.
I can
Ralph
do some of that.
Ralph has won. Lisa has won. It is 50 Cent. 50 Cent. Kevin. Your strategy backfired on you there, Kevin.
Oh, Kevin.
All right. We got time for a couple more here. Next up. I'm warning you, with peace and love, I have too much to do. So no more fan mail. Thank you, and no objects to be signed. Nothing. Peace and love.
That's Ringo.
Is it Ringo Starr?
Really?
Or is it Paul McCartney?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going with Ralph.
Sure could be either, but he did say Ringo halfway through the clue.
Yeah, it's Ringo.
I'm going with Ringo.
It's Ringo.
Oh,
yeah.
So
well, I knew there was a danger that you may have been familiar with some of these quotes.
Really? Right. One of the Beatles is not ever going to sign autographs?
Not except for fan mail.
It's Ringo?
That's him.
He's finished.
He's lucky.
All right, let's do making peace and love, Kevin.
He's lucky anyone still asks.
All right, we'll do two more. How's that? How's that sound?
Two What's the score? More.
What's the score right now, Muggs?
2-2-1. Kevin is the one.
Okay.
Nice read.
Next. Where did my good pillow go? All of a sudden, I got 5 Holiday Inn pillows, like 2 feet tall and hella hard. # I'm trying to sleep.
Wow.
Is it Macklemore or Steve Aoki? Again. Where did my good pillow go? All of a sudden, I got 5 Holiday Inn pillows, like 2 feet tall and hella hard. # I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah. It's Macklemore. Obviously.
Because he can't
that's one of the choices.
Oh.
I think I'm going with Steve.
I think I'm going to go with Steve as well.
Macklemore it is.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Come on, that was obvious. Come on,
Ralph
people.
Is running away
Ralph
with this.
Takes the lead.
I was worried about that one just because he's talking all hip hop. So I was worried it would be the giveaway for Macklemore. Hmm. All right, final one, and I don't think anyone but Ralph could win, but let's play it anyway. I'm very much like Larry David in my everyday, complaining about, you know, why they make shoelaces so much longer than they need to be.
Kanye!
Is it Jack White?
No.
Or is it Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys? Again, I'm very much like Larry David in my everyday, complaining about, you know, why they make shoelaces so much longer than they need to be.
Is it Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys or Jack White?
I got to go Jack White because I think he's got a little more of a sense of humor. I'm going Jack.
You're going Jack?
Yep.
Mm.
I can't lose. I'm going Jack then.
You can't lose.
Yeah, that's true. You can't lose. I'm going Dan.
Good for you, Lisa.
You could tie, I think.
Yeah, I think you could tie.
All right. I can't do math, but I know it's good for me.
And you can't tie either because it's Jack White.
So Jack White was
Jack
the answer.
White.
Right.
There you go. That's our new feature that we like to call First World Problems.
Not a good read.
Still bad.
Well, it happened again, you guys. For the third time in 2 weeks, a flight had to be diverted because of passengers getting into a fight over a reclining airline seat.
Really?
I am shocked.
That's weird how it comes in bunches.
Yeah.
You know? Can you imagine how angry you would be if your flight got diverted because two passengers got into a fight?
I would fight
for whatever
them
both. The reason. Yeah. For whatever the reason.
Yeah.
This was a Delta flight from New York's LaGuardia Airport to West Palm Beach. It had to be rerouted to Jacksonville, Florida, inconveniencing hundreds and hundreds of people. So it's, I mean, this whole put your seat back thing is just turning into a national conversation. One day we're going to laugh that we're even having this talk because fast and furious airlines are just deleting the ability to be able to recline your seat. So you're not going to have to worry about it anymore. Spirit Airlines already does it that way. Allegiant Air already does it that way. Monarch Air just announced that their new fleet will not include reclining seats. But it all started about 2 weeks ago with a little device called the Knee Defender. That's what the first fight was about. And here's an interview from MSNBC, I think, of the man who actually invented the Knee Defender. His name is Ira Goldman, and he tells why he came up with the device.
It wasn't the Knee Defender that caused the problem. The airline set things up, and it just so happens my legs are that long. When I sit down at the in my seat while the plane's parked at the gate, my knees already hit the seat back in front of me. So without the Knee Defender, my kneecaps are going to stop a seat from reclining. And unfortunately, that's what happened too many times, sometimes with the hard part of the back of the seat. And so I came up with the Knee Defender. And people aren't using this to hog space. They're doing it to stop. People have their laptop computer screens cracked when a seat reclines. People have babies on their laps that get smacked in the head with these things.
I'm going to call BS on that.
Yeah.
Are you? You don't think so?
I don't think any. I think you could be annoyed by it, but I'm not sure your computer screen cracks, and I'm not sure that a baby got slapped in the face.
Well, absurd.
I bet as a result of this story, the a lot of people are running out and spending their $22 for the Knee Defender so they can stop the person in front of them for reclining. But we wanted to hear it right from the man himself, Mr. Goldman. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, sir.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's nice to talk to you as well. Are you surprised at how much controversy your little plastic device has caused in this country?
I am. I'm just stunned by everyone being so upset about what's happening. I'm just protecting my knees.
Right.
And, of course, all those babies who are being struck in the face by seats.
Now, has that ever happened?
Hundreds and hundreds of babies are being punched in the face by a seat back.
How were they punched or slapped?
Because you're sitting with a baby in your lap and someone puts that seat back and often will murder the baby.
I don't think I've ever heard of that happening even one time, sir.
Happens dozens of times on every flight in the U.S.
Every flight, wow.
And also screens of laptops are also being destroyed.
Yeah,
often
that.
With babies. Don't. Often babies are being slammed into laptops. And the baby's heads are going through the laptop screen.
I'm not sure I buy either of those.
It's absolutely true.
Okay. Right.
Now, what would you say to critics of the Knee Defender, sir, who say, look, I paid for the seat. The seat reclines. It's my right to recline. If you don't like it, tough.
I would say that bugs me.
Right.
So I have invented a piece of plastic that you slam into the pivot point of the seat that doesn't let you do that. So I win. I would say.
So basically, the person in front of you on the plane
is screwed.
Literally, physically cannot put their seat back.
That's right. The Knee Defender prohibits them from actually putting the seat back at all by jamming up the hinge there where the seat goes back.
Okay, but you can still put your seat back, though, even if you're using the Knee Defender for the person in front of you, right?
Of course, yes, because it's my right. I paid for the seat. Why can't I recline?
What? That doesn't make sense.
Why can't I kill a baby if there's one behind me?
Anybody wants anyone to get hurt or any fights to break out or any planes to be diverted. There has to be some better solution.
It is. The best solution is stop doing things that bother me on airplanes. That's the best
bother
solution.
You specifically?
Yes, yes. I've got a series now of inventions that are coming out on the success of the Knee Defender.
Oh, okay.
I'm also bothered by people who who talk too loudly or eat too loudly on a plane next to me.
Eat too loudly.
So, earplugs?
No, no. I've got a new device called the Gob Blocker.
The what?
Is the Gob Blocker.
Okay.
Which is a large piece of plastic that inserts into the mouth of the person and has a locking mechanism behind their head so they can no longer talk or eat on the flight.
Well, you can't put that in somebody's mouth.
Why can't I?
Because it's a violation of their personal space. They're allowed to talk. They're allowed to eat.
I've already jammed up their hinge. Why can't I jam up their mouth? This way they will not eat and make noisy eating sounds, or they will not talk. So they will be going, and I haven't worked out how to stop that noise yet, but I will.
Yeah.
Also, I don't like people who sleep on planes, because often they will lean over and sleep on my shoulder. That's so annoying when someone next to you is sleeping on you.
Right.
So I've now got the new device called the Sleeper Waker.
Sleeper Waker.
Yes, which is a plastic device you put into both ears of the person while they're sleeping, and then you hit a button and 40,000 decibels of ear-shattering noise is blasted into their brain.
Okay, that's just cruel. It's inhuman.
It keeps them awake.
Right.
Well, I guess
that's
it
my
would.
Point.
It's torture.
That's my point.
Have you run this idea by airlines or?
Speaking of torture.
Yeah.
What's worse than an overnight flight when you're trying to sleep and someone's got their reading light on and they're reading constantly?
I thought nobody was allowed to sleep on your plane.
I can sleep.
Okay, I'm sorry. So the reading light is on.
That's annoying. When the person is reading all over the plane, people are reading, reading, reading with their blinding lights on, reading their newspapers or their books or whatever.
That's a pretty focused light just on their lap, basically.
But it annoys me. Okay. So I've got a new device called the Eye Blinder.
Eye Blinder.
Yes. Which is the metal spikes I plunge into the eyeballs of people who are reading.
You can't. You can't do that.
Mr. Goldman? Ira?
It blinds them.
You can't do that. I mean, that is illegal.
It's assault.
I might blind them with a baby.
Landon Donovan from your Los Angeles Galaxy joins us in about a half an hour or so here on K-Rock. And if you want to go see Jane's Addiction and all the great acts at the Sunset Strip Music Festival, we've got tickets you can win for that coming up this morning as well. But first, college football. Finally here, you guys. Week number one behind us. Season opener at home at the Rose Bowl is going to be this Saturday with your UCLA Bruins versus the visiting Memphis Tigers. Very excited to welcome to the program for the first time the head coach of the UCLA Bruins, Mr. Jim Mora. Hi, Jim. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Doing great. Thanks for joining us. I heard that you had to talk to us early because you're some sort of slave driver. You've got those kids out there practically in the middle of the night practicing. What's up, coach?
Now, we you know, it's interesting. Our players would rather get up and get going earlier in the morning. So, actually, this morning we don't start until 8. Typically, during school year, we're on the practice field at 7, and it just seems to work out well for them.
Wait, you're telling me that the students would prefer a 7 a.m. practice? A college student?
That doesn't sound right.
Are you insane?
That's not how I remember college.
When I was in college, there was no way.
Right. 7 a.m. is when you go to bed.
Right.
Speaking of the time, we were just having a conversation off the air before we got you on the line, Coach. Last week you had to play at noon in Virginia. What's that like for you when you're used to playing so many of your games at, you know, 5, 6, 7 o'clock at night?
Well, it shouldn't matter, you know, because like I said, we do practice early, so it shouldn't matter. But sometimes it does, you know, especially when you're on the East Coast time zone. It just forces you to get up so dang early. And I don't know, it's just harder to get the body going. But once you get going, it's just a normal game. You know, you start, the adrenaline starts rolling and get going.
Yeah, you're just excited to be there. You have such a weird job in that you go out there and you win, which is the ultimate goal of every Saturday. You come home with a 1-0 record, yet you've still got all sorts of critics and all sorts of questions that you get asked. And it's almost like, you know, you can't win for losing.
That's kind of the business, you know. I think if you can't accept that, you just shouldn't be doing what we do. And, you know, the ultimate goal every week is to win and try to get better and, you know, reach our potential. And you're not immediately going to reach your potential in a sport like this. It takes a while to build. And it's about getting better every day and getting better every week that you go out and play. And I think that that's what we're all about. So like I said, if you can't accept it, if you can't handle it, then you need to be doing something else. And this is the only thing I know how to do. So I got no options.
Do you pay attention to it? Do you see all of the criticism, or are you just like, it's all a part of it, and I don't need to see it?
I don't need to see it. I don't think it's healthy, but I'm aware of it, obviously. But I think this, and I know this is so lame and it's a cliche, if you're your own worst critic,
right,
then nothing else should really matter. And I'm very critical of myself. I'm very tough on our team. So I think that's probably the most important thing, is being your own toughest critic and never excusing yourself and never compromising. And that's what I try to do. So if I can do those things, what's going on outside really shouldn't matter, but I'm also human. So, yeah, you feel it.
Yeah.
I know this is the voice of a Coach Jim Mora here on the Kevin DeBean Show. We're talking about the UCLA Bruins home opener. It's going to be this Saturday. Tickets available at UCLABruins.com, starting at just $20 for the Rose Bowl opener. What's it like, and this may be a stupid amateur question, Coach, so please forgive me and go easy on me. When you have a game like this where the defense scores almost all of your points, what do the defensive guys and the offensive guys talk about after the game? Is that weird at all, or do they just go, hey, whoever scores, we don't care?
It's really about the team, and it is whoever scores, we don't care. As long as we win, that's the objective. There's never any finger pointing. You know, it's a close group. I mean, they care about each other, and there's going to be games where the defense may struggle a little bit and the offense has to come through. That's the nature of competitive athletics. But, you know, what was interesting is, you know, I always try to meet the team at the door to the locker room when they're coming off the field. I just want to get a sense of, you know, what they're feeling, how they look, kind of the vibe of the team. And there wasn't one player that walked in that locker room that wasn't extremely disappointed. You know, they were happy that they won, but they weren't satisfied with the performance. And that's particularly on offense, but still on defense, there were some things we could have done better as well.
What is it? What's the difference mainly between coaching in the pros, which, of course, you did with Seattle, you did with Atlanta, and college? What's the biggest difference?
Well, obviously the age of the athlete, that's different. But just the things that go with that age group. You know, you're dealing with young men that a lot of them are away from home for the very first time. They're still maturing. There's social issues, maturity issues. And then you're dealing with school. You know, we haven't started school yet, but once school starts, you add that into it, and it becomes a lot, you know, an awful lot for them to juggle. And, you know, they're just still developing. And so that's different for me. You know, the scope of the job is much wider. It's not as narrow as it is in the NFL, where there's really only one thing that matters, and that's, did you win or lose on Sunday? In college football, there's so many other variables or factors that determine whether or not you're doing a good job.
Is there more to do as a coach, as a college coach?
Yeah, there is. I mean, your job description is much more varied. I mean, there's recruiting, there's managing. You know, like I said, sometimes girlfriends are breaking up with them, or, you know, there's issues at home, or, you know, they're struggling in school. So there's all of those things. It's a wider job description, more varied. But for me, just me, I'd much rather be in college. I love the college environment. I love the college game. I love dealing with these players. I love being there for them. It's a blast.
I'm sure, Coach, that you take no pleasure at all in seeing some of the off-field distractions across town at USC. Your program has been so clean and so drama-free. What's the secret over there? How do you keep all your kids so well-behaved and in line?
Well, I don't think that we're any different from any other program. We all have issues. Some of them are just more public than others. And I think the key is recruiting good kids and holding them to a high standard. And you know what? We don't take any pleasure in seeing what's happening over at USC to a guy like Josh Shaw, because we know Josh Shaw. We recruited Josh Shaw. You know, we care about Josh Shaw. We like Josh Shaw. So, you know, I mean, there's a point where the rivalry becomes insignificant and you care about the person more so than the rivalry. But for us, it's all about just trying to recruit the right kids, hold them to a high standard, you know, emphasize the things that we think are important and make sure that they're following the rules to the best of their ability. When you're dealing with 120 adolescent young men, things are going to come up every day.
Absolutely.
Some of the stuff you can't even imagine. So it's pretty fun.
Last question for me, Coach, and that is, do you pay attention at all to the national rankings? Does it matter to you whether you're ranked 7th or 11th, or is there one that's kind of better for you psychologically if you're not too high or too low?
You know what? I don't pay attention to it. I hope our players don't. I think the only one that matters is the one at the end. But if you're talking about, you know, it is there psychologically, I think it's better to be trying to climb than watching yourself fall. You know, now, like I said, we try not to pay attention to it. We don't look at it, all those things. But you always kind of know what's going on. So I really don't care where we're ranked right now, as long as, like I said, as we're winning football games and we're making progress and we're moving towards, you know, reaching full potential. That's what's important right now.
Well, it's a wonderful time of the year. We're so excited to welcome you guys back to the Rose Bowl. Kickoff is going to be at 7 o'clock on the Pac-12 Network this Saturday versus the visiting Memphis Tigers. Coach, we really enjoyed talking to you. I hope we get a chance to do it again, sir.
Well, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
106.7 KROQ is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin Amin Show. It is 6:55.
By the way, yesterday, right here on the show, the band The Arctic Monkeys stopped by. A little interview, a little acoustic performance. If you missed it, or even if you heard it and want to see it again, you can go to KROQ.com and watch it. It's going to be streaming for about another 2 hours or so. You can watch the whole thing up at KROQ.com. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's going on?
Andrews keep coming in for the Breakfast with Bean contest.
Oh, right. That's good news. It's not a thing, Ralph.
That's good news.
We will select several of the entries to read on the air, and the one who writes the best essay about why you'd like to have breakfast with
that's
Bean,
not
course,
a contest that we're
will
doing
be sent there to Seattle, Washington for a all deluxe prepaid breakfast with Bean, and you get to ride in the Beanmobile and you get to wear
spend the night in the barn
Bean's wolf costume, and
right?
It's gonna be a great event, so we'd like to keep those coming in. Henry, for example, wrote this one in. Ralph, came up with an idea that I think would be great. The Armenian comedian keeps asking you for a breakfast with him as well. Why not send Sam to Seattle to have breakfast with Bean?
I love it.
Sam can play his music for Bean when he feels like it, throwing some jokes at the IHOP. Then Bean can report back on how it went. It's a win-win. Except for Bean, of course.
How about that, Dean?
Henry writes that. So there
Come
you
on,
go.
Ralph. Oh, God.
How about that?
No, just no.
I'm just saying.
Ralph.
It would be
no.
the best of all
no.
possible.
No.
World?
No.
I'm with that guy.
But Bean, the Armenian comedian, come on.
That's what I'm saying is the Armenian comedian.
Breakfast with Bean and Sam.
It could be like a whole weekend. Oh. Like he could stay at your house a whole weekend.
That would be
maybe
awesome.
A week.
And he'll fly up with Doto, too, while we're
yes.
at it, right?
and Nick. Nick can read you from his latest screenplay.
I'm not having fun in Seattle. By the way, you guys sent Nick to my house one time. I've already lived that nightmare. Do you remember that?
That's right.
You sent him to my house.
I remember that.
We did. Gave him
yeah,
his address.
He showed up.
Everything.
My wife called me up and said, there's a guy who just hopped the fence into our yard. And I looked down there. Hi, Bean.
And I remember Bean going, why would you hop a fence? There's places you can just walk in.
Right. I have gates.
That's
exactly.
That's
just open
what
them.
Winners do.
That is what winners do, Bean. I've had enough interaction with the people, you guys.
I don't think so. Not after breakfast with Bean
it
happens.
Seems like the people are demanding it.
You're going to love it. You're going to love it.
You will love it.
Trust us. Speaking of winners, Captain America's a winner.
Yeah.
Captain America, the Winter Soldier, comes out on Blu-ray next week, Tuesday, September the 9th. I've got a very cool thing that's going to be happening next week regarding this release. So,
can you tell us yet?
I can't yet, but it's going to be awesome. However, I would like to give away some copies before they're available. How about right now? 1-800-520-1067. Five lucky winners will get a copy of Captain America, the Winter Soldier on Blu-ray. One of the best comic book movies to come out in years.
Yeah, I enjoy that too. A lot.
So call me now. And if you get through, one of the first five people to get through with that number, you get a copy of Captain America, the Winter Soldier on Blu-ray. It's a great film. All right, let's talk show business news. Bastille has a couple of outdoor TV performances coming up. They were going to be on Hollywood Boulevard for a Jimmy Kimmel Live appearance on Jimmy's show on September the 8th. Then they head across country to be part of the Toyota concert series in Rockefeller Center in New York, on the plaza outside the center there, on NBC's Today Show on October the 6th. And then they're going to launch their tour, Bad Blood, the Last Stand tour in Philadelphia, which wraps up here in Los Angeles on November the 20th. So, a lot of Bastille. You want to check them out? They are going to be everywhere.
Love that band.
They are great, and they're great live, and you will enjoy. Strokes frontman Julian Casablancas also got some new music in the works. He wants you to hear a track from his new solo album. It's called Human Sadness. The new track, It's a mere 11 minutes of enjoyment for you.
Just 11?
That's all it is.
11 minutes, you're saying.
Human
11.
Sadness is the name minutes. Of the song, and it's 11 minutes.
11
you can find
minutes.
It on Tyranny, his new solo album. Julian is backed by his new solo band, The Voids, on that disc. So that's September the 23rd. But if you want to check out the 11-minute-long Human Sadness beforehand, it's now available online. You can check that out. Do we have a clip from a Human Sadness?
Nothing?
I believe we do, Ralph. I actually do have a clip from
good.
That.
Oh, good. Okay.
And it's one of those songs like, I listened to it over the weekend. It's one of those songs like Champagne Supernova that has like lots of different movements, lots of different parts, fast parts, slow parts. I mean, it just goes, it's like a suite. It just goes all over the place. But this is one part I think that you guys are going to like a lot from Julian Casablancas.
That's good. I like it. I love it. It's the best.
Goes on like that for about 7 minutes.
Wow.
Getting that.
Covering it.
Did you guys watch the unauthorized Saved by the Bell story, man? It was unauthorized.
No.
I didn't authorize that. That S wasn't authorized.
Nope. I did not, but I feel like I missed out on a big moment for a lot of people. It seems like it was very, very, very popular.
It was not.
It was not, okay.
People who watched it did not seem to like it, and only 1.6 million viewers tuned in to watch. But the Hollywood Reporter says Lifetime isn't giving up on those TV biographies about famous people. They still have the Brittany Murphy movie coming this Saturday. They're doing a Whitney Houston movie and another one about Aaliyah. So despite the fact that no one really cared about this one, the next one, that's going to be the one that puts them over the top.
Sure.
Let's have it.
Let's have it. Let's have it. Lifetime. Today's celebrity birthdays. These stars were born on today, September the 3rd. Guitar Steve Jones is 59 years old today. Steve Sciarippa from The Sopranos turns 57. Sean White, the
Flying Tomato.
Tomato
mm-hmm.
is 28 years old today. Sure, it's not the flatulent tomato?
Pretty sure.
Yes, positive.
And he's cut that hair too, so I'm not even sure they call him that anymore.
He's a Dancing with the Stars alum, going back to what you were telling us earlier about their new lineup.
I do not remember him on Dancing with the Stars. Huh. Rita Volk. Amy from TV's Faking It is 24 years old today. And actor Charlie Sheen celebrates his 49th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
After careful deliberation and after many conversations with those closest to me, I have decided that this will be my last season as a professional soccer player. I'm not worried about Landon. He's going to be fine, Kevin. What about you, man? How are you going to handle it?
Well, I think Landon is being a little selfish, to be honest, because he started getting gifts every place he goes.
Uh-huh. Sweet.
And a lot of those gifts I would like. So I think, like, maybe he plays one more year and then we can split the gifts. That works
just
for me.
Just to get free stuff for you.
Right.
I see. All right. Well, let's run that by number 10 for your Los Angeles Galaxy. The great Landon Donovan joins us back once again on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hello, sir.
Good morning, guys. All the guys keep saying I should definitely go back on my word and come back next year and get a bunch more gifts.
Well, I mean, it has been a great farewell tour where every single stadium, they bring something out for you, a plaque, or last time it was a surfboard and a skateboard.
That's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
I know. I should have announced this earlier.
But you can't. My point is, you can't possibly have room for all of that.
I'll find room. Don't
so
worry.
I'd take. Oh, okay.
You have to move just to take all your stuff. It's kind of.
I'll make it work.
It must be so bittersweet for you, so gratifying, but so heart tugging to see the kind of emotion and to realize what's happening, Landon. I'm sure every time you go out there on the pitch, it sinks in a little more, right?
Well, what happens as an athlete is you get used to going on the road and people making fun of you, calling you names, saying different things, being so negative. But what's happened now is when I go on the road, there's this shift where people have been really sweet, really appreciative. And it's almost weird for me because you go into the stadium and you're expecting one thing and then you get these nice gestures, nice comments. The teams treat you respectfully. It's actually been really nice. And I think it says a lot about our fans and the organizations that they're being respectful. It's been nice.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I thought the same thing. You know, we watched Derek Jeter, his final season, playing for the Yankees, and it's the same thing. I mean, when he gets a standing ovation at Fenway Park, you go, what the heck is going on? And it's refreshing and nice to see that sports fans can sometimes look beyond the competitive factor of who you play for and just kind of respect you as an athlete. I think you're right. That's a neat thing to see.
Absolutely, and you know, at the end of the day, it's a sport, it's a game, and I know we get carried away and we think it's ultimately so important, but it really is just a game, and at the end of the day, we're here to help bring entertainment to people, help bring people an opportunity to get away from their normal lives so they can go and watch a game for a few hours and relax, and it's nice to know that you've been able to do that for people.
Being asked just before we went to the phone, is Landon seems like he's still playing at a level where he does not need to retire. And I said, yeah, absolutely.
I feel like he would be drafted if he played the way he's playing right now. I mean, it's kind of crazy. Look, if you're trying to make it harder for people to see you go, you should be sucking right now.
Well, the two are intricately linked because, you know, having the freedom to just enjoy these last games has taken a lot of pressure off, and it's allowed me to really just enjoy it because, we went to Columbus and we go to Colorado and later we'll go to San Jose, and it's the last time I'll have a chance to play there. So it gives me a little extra motivation and push in the games, and it gives me a chance to just really enjoy it without worrying about too much. And you know, it's easy to say that, and you say, well, why didn't you just do that your whole career? But it's different when you've got pressure and you've got expectations and all that. So it's been nice for me. I'm really enjoying it.
3 goals and 3 assists in the last 4 matches. Is that right, Landon?
I don't know. You tell me.
You can't go. What I'm saying to you, dude, is you can't go. Did many of your teammates or coaches try to talk you into staying when you made the decision?
Actually, Bruce, our LA coach, did not. He was very, which I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing.
He's probably happy about it. Oh, great. Finally.
He's probably happy not to see too much more of me. He was very supportive. My teammates, I think some of them probably don't quite get it, especially guys that don't play a lot or haven't had the opportunity to play a lot in their career, because they probably think, well, I've been trying to do this my whole life and this guy has it and now he's stopping. But for me, it's been a really long, long haul, and I thought a lot about it over the last couple months, and it just seemed right. And even some of my family wasn't completely on board with it. A lot of them were, but a lot were, you know, a little bit not understanding of it. But eventually everyone says, you know what, if that's what you want to do, then we support you, and that's what's meant the most to me.
This has been a very difficult decision for a lot of athletes because it's what you've known your whole life, and many, many times people change their minds and come back. Have you ever waffled in that this is the perfect decision, perfect time?
Well, we're all human, and so, of course, there's doubt. Doubt is a normal part of life in anything you do, and so sometimes I play a good game, and I'm happy in the locker room, and I sit there, and I go, gosh, are you still sure? But then I quickly realize that I've thought about this in different ways for a long time. I've spoken to my family and those closest to me, and I just realized that it's time. And it doesn't mean there won't be days during this year, there won't be days during next year where I wake up and go, dang, I want to get back out there, but the overwhelming sentiment in my heart and my soul tells me that this is the time to stop.
Well, the Galaxy play the Colorado Rapids this Friday night, 7:30 StubHub. You're going to be missing a couple of players, the goalie, Pineda, and Robbie Keane. Talk about what it's like for your team to replace Robbie Keane, which is pretty difficult.
Well, yeah, I don't think you replace Robbie Keane, but we're going to try our best. We've had some guys do a good job and step in and fill the void. Jaime's played... Pinedo's played almost every game in goal for us this year, and he's been excellent. And then when you have Robbie out of the lineup, I'm sure the other team's going to be excited about that. And for us, it's about finding different ways to create offense because he's, in my opinion, he's the best offensive creator in our league. And so we need to find a way to do better with him out of the lineup, and everyone's got to step up a little bit, but I think we will.
When Jesse Zardes, I wanted to talk about him quickly. Last season, I was I was critical because he was great at getting in scoring positions and then not necessarily scoring. This year, he seems to have turned that around, and he's actually matured a lot and is putting a lot of goals in. Does that make you feel good to see that?
Absolutely. And he's a young kid, so you get a lot of ups and downs with young kids. But the one thing I'll say about Giassi is last year he had many, many, many chances, and he didn't score as many goals as he would have liked. And all year last year and all year this year, after training, he spends time with a couple of the coaches, and he's just shooting and shooting and shooting and shooting and getting comfortable in front of goal, and now it pays off. And so for people that think that it's all just about talent, and it's and you're just born with these certain things. I'd say it's not. And he's worked really hard, and now he's reaping the rewards, and we're really happy for him.
That's the voice of Landon Donovan here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Talk about the Galaxy versus Colorado. Tickets are on sale now through LAGalaxy.com. They started just $20, by the way, for Friday night at the StubHub Center. Yes, Kevin, you were saying.
I was going to say, when you retire, are you still going to have to eat that Vietnamese gruel, dirt gruel diet that you've been working on?
The
test? Yeah, can that go by the wayside?
It's Ethiopian, but you were close.
Ethiopian, okay. are you just going to fatten up, just
that'll
start eating?
That'll probably go away for a while. It'll probably be more burgers and beer and french fries for a while, and then you guys will see me about 30 pounds overweight, and I'll have to
get back to it.
I can't wait. That's going to be hilarious. It's going to look like a bobblehead. It's going to be awesome. All right, so Landon, obviously we love you and always have, and we've always been so grateful of the time that you've given us on the Kevin DeBeach Show, and I hope that we get a chance to talk to you again. I mean, whether it's in your farewell tour this season or when you land as a broadcaster or whatever you're going to do next, please keep in touch with us, man, because we always enjoy talking to you, for real.
I appreciate you guys have been great to me, so thanks a lot.
Thanks, Landon. Bye.
Oh, Justin Bieber, you so wacky, right?
Yeah.
He's
going to get his ass kicked, right? One of these days?
I hope. He's in trouble again. We turn to the only news source that matters, E! Entertainment Television.
E! Confirms Justin is in trouble with Canadian authorities following a collision between a minivan and an ATV. Investigation revealed the ATV driver and an occupant of the minivan had a physical altercation Friday. Bieber was arrested and charged with dangerous driving and assault. And according to JB, it's snaps like these that are behind the whole debacle. His attorney tells E! Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez's peaceful retreat this weekend was unfortunately disrupted by the unwelcome presence of paparazzi. Justin, who's currently on probation in California, has been released from custody and is scheduled to appear in a Canadian court on September 29th.
I feel like we've had this conversation before, but let's try to talk some sense into the young man one more time. Justin Bieber joins us back on the Kevin DeBeach Show on K-Rock. Hi, Justin.
Yo, 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 yo. What's up, yo? Yo, swaggy swag, yo.
What's up is you're just being a dick. I mean, look, we understand the paparazzi are a hassle, but you can't just drive like a jerk and beat people up. You're going to end up in jail.
They can't cross me, man.
Yeah, Bean, you assume he beat someone up.
I did, man.
Come on.
I beat him up, yo.
Yeah.
You swatted him.
I punched him with my swaggy fists.
Your MO normally is that you've got giant security guards that you, first you yell that you're going to F them up, and then you run behind your security guards and hide.
I don't need security guards, man. I just hopped off my bitchin' ATV, which is a cool ride, yo.
Okay. Yes.
50-year-old Hunter.
At least you're aware of that.
And so I like, yo, yo, swaggy paparazzi, come on out here and fight me like Orlando Bloom, yo.
Then I
beat him up, yo.
You didn't beat anybody up. I think Kevin's right. I don't think that happened at all. I think you maybe took a swig at somebody. You certainly didn't hit anybody.
All right. Selena actually beat him up.
Okay, that I believe. That's actually way more believable.
But I went to jail for it, yo.
Now you have street cred.
I did hard time in a Canadian jail cell where they only give you six pillows and a comforter.
Really?
In your easy chair with your television set.
And how long were you in there?
20 hard minutes, yo. Changes a man, yo. Now I'm
really?
All thuggy. I'm Swaggy Thuggy. That's my new name.
Swaggy Thuggy.
Swaggy Thuggy. I just came
up
with it.
Yeah.
Now, I know it's useless to ask reasonable questions and expect critical thought, but you understand you're on probation, right? So every time you get in trouble, there is a risk of some serious jail time because you're on probation already.
I don't care about probation, yo. I'm Swaggy Thuggy.
You are Swaggy Thuggy.
Long hair don't care.
What does that have to do with anything, Justin?
I know, I'm running out of things to say. I'm all hard now. I don't care about probation. I'll go with Canadians. I don't care about those Canadians, man.
You're a Canadian.
I got into an altercation with a Canadian.
Right, that was driving a minivan.
Yeah.
So was it a mom?
And so we got out, we squared off, and I was like, yo, bro, I'm sorry. And he said, yo, I'm sorry, too. And we hugged it out.
Well, that's not a fight.
It's against the law not to You had to say I'm sorry three times in Canada or else you go to jail.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Well, you did the right thing. You're 20, and I feel like you've been getting in trouble for five solid years, Justin.
That's right, because I'm gangster, yo. I'm swaggy thuggy.
You're swaggy, not swaggy thuggy. Or thuggy.
I'm swaggy thuggy.
You're also not gangster.
I am gangster. I am OG.
Nope.
I wear a hat like Pharrell.
Right.
I wear sunglasses indoors.
Yeah, you do.
I go to most places with no shirt.
Well, that happens.
That's
yeah.
also true.
I am OG thugger.
Yes, you are. You're practically Suge Knight at this point.
Hell yeah. I have bullet holes, yo.
You don't have bullet holes.
All right, I have moth holes to my clothes. That's like bullets.
It's not the same at all.
It's the same.
Not even close.
Moths are the bullets of the insect world, yo.
Okay. We had the Arctic Monkeys in yesterday. They performed live, and we put it up online. And you can see it until about 9 o'clock this morning, if you'd like
okay.
to. So.
I think it's always cool when there's a song you know as a rock song gets stripped down with just acoustic guitar and percussion. I think those are always fascinating to watch.
Yeah, I do too.
Shows you how good those guys are. They're able to do that. Hey, Ralph, I'm glad you joined us in studio here for this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
Because, by the way, did you hear that moths are the bullets of the insect world?
I did not hear that.
Yeah, I learned that on this morning's show. Weird Don't thing. Say the Kevin Beach show is not educational. I just learned something. You alerted the room to a situation that's going on in the Twitterverse yesterday. I don't follow the beer mug, but apparently I'm missing some
How can
gold.
You not?
Apparently beer mug is getting it done, taking care of business on Twitter. What's going on?
Well, yeah. I got to give credit where it's due. Chip actually gave us the heads up because she constantly monitors beer mug's Twitter feed in case he gets into another Twitter war with one of our listeners.
Which happens about once every couple of weeks.
Beer mug's constantly defending himself against people who call him a douchebag. And we found out, even more disturbingly, that he apparently thinks he has some sort of relationship with the Los Angeles Dodgers.
He's a huge
of the National Baseball Association League.
Good enough. Which is close enough. How they're always known.
Yes.
Well, here's the thing. He's a big Dodger fan, and the Dodgers, I guess, lost. Right.
Okay. The night that I tweeted.
Yeah.
It's the first game of a three-game series against the Washington Nationals.
Okay.
And they lost the first game, and I told them, "Hey, boys, we got two more games to win in the series.
The
let's do it. Let's go. We got it. Let's go."
That's the thing. Is his tweet was at LA Dodgers?
Yes.
Hang in there, guys. There's still two more games with the Nationals. We still have time to do it.
Yeah, I don't have the exact tweet here on me, but that was pretty much it.
Here it is. No worries, Dodgers. There are two more games in this series. Hashtag go Dodgers. Now, you were thinking, Muggs, that Los Angeles was unaware of the schedule?
No, they're aware of it, but they needed my support and they needed my encouragement to let them know, guys, don't – look, they've been having a rough go lately, okay?
Right.
Puig's not been hitting. He's been in a slump.
Shut up. Talk about the tweet.
Okay, the tweet. It's encouraging.
It's encouraging to the fans? Like, hey, keep your heads up?
No, it's encouragement to the team, the Dodgers, the boys in blue.
Because they're reading your tweets.
Yes, they are, Ralph.
Are any of them following you?
I'm not possible, but or not sure, but yeah, they could be.
You're not possible.
So you're actually are tweeting to the team specifically, to the players that are on the field.
And you're giving them the advice of... There are additional games to play.
Look,
that is your rousing speech in the locker room, is that they will have more games to play.
Yes. Do they not have a Twitter handle for people to reach out to? Do they not?
No, it's for you to follow.
Okay, but you can also tweet at them.
But that's not really what they like. Trust me.
How do you know they don't
like
that?
Do you think that they all sat down in the locker room after the game? They all went through. Let's see what people are saying about
that. Damn, it's over. The season's over for us. We've ruined everything.
Look.
Hold on a second. Wait. Beer Mug just tweeted us. There are two more games.
Look.
Woo! They got it. They started carrying each other around their shoulders. And they popped champagne in the locker room.
I'm not sure that happened exactly.
Yeah. You know why? Because nobody read it. And nobody cares.
Well, how do you know, Ralph? What if one person on the team... They don't have to be on the starting lineup, but what if one of the backup pitchers, like the bullpen catcher, catches a glimpse of my tweet and passes along to the guys?
What could he pass along? That there's two more games to play?
No, he says, look, Beer Mug over at the Kevin and Bean show on K-Rock says, you know, keep your heads up. They've been in a rough, like, they've been shaky lately.
Yeah, we got it.
Okay.
Rough, shaky.
So
your tweet is meaningless.
No, it's not.
And for you to think you can tweet an organization and have any sort of impact at all is, frankly, demented.
Yeah, that's what I thought when I saw it. I was like, does he really think that somehow the Dodger players are going to get this and be encouraged?
It's beyond arrogance.
Ralph, have you ever tweeted the Eagles before?
No!
Have you ever tweeted about the Eagles?
Yes, to other Eagles fans, yes.
Okay, do you hashtag at their actual handle?
I include them in the tweet.
You know, when you do that, they have a possibility of seeing that, right, Ralph?
But it's never my intention. It's only that if someone has a feed where they have at Eagles on their feed, then they can read my tweet, the other Eagles fans.
He doesn't delude himself into thinking that the actual team is going to read it. It's for other people who have that hashtag.
Okay,
hey, Eagles, there's 16 more games to go this season. Keep your chin straps on.
Okay, I wasn't talking about the total number of games in the season. I was just talking specifically
irrelevant.
About the series. They're playing the Washington Nationals,
right.
The first in the NL Central.
Hold on. Oh, my God.
Slow down.
None of this matters.
What you're saying is technically correct. They lost the first game of a three-game series. That's correct. The fact that you tweeted to the Dodgers and you think the players are going to be encouraged by your tweet is insane.
Look, they might be encouraged. I'm not saying that they're definitely going to see it.
Could I add also, even if they did see your tweet, even if every single player came in and sat down and saw your tweet, it's only telling them something that they 100% already know, which
it's
is that there are two more games in the series.
It's not, hey, you know what? I'm dying of cancer. Please win this series for me. Something. It's not a Babe Ruth moment where they might actually be motivated to do anything. You're telling them they have two more games in their series. That's what you did.
They face a lot of negative... Negative media attention sometimes.
Okay.
Okay. I'm just trying.
They need a positive story.
Exactly,
about them
Ralph.
Having more games to
Thank
play
you.
In the series.
Thank
your
you.
Your tweet is doing nothing of what you apparently have set out to accomplish.
We're out of time.
You have two more games in the series
to win.
That's what you told
to
them.
To win.
Well, that was your second tweet.
Yes, I had
when
to clarify.
You had to go back and augment
That's right.
your first tweet.
That's right. He didn't put win.
Asterisk.
To win.
Yeah, I wasn't clear enough the first part.
Guys, we're almost out of time, but I think we glossed over the solution here that does work for everybody, that makes everybody happy. And Ralph, you hit on it maybe even without even realizing it.
What's that?
Beer mug needs to get cancer. And then the Dodgers
wow.
have a reason to go out there and win those last two games.
Well, look, you know what?
It'd
will.
It'd be like a Make-A-Wish Foundation thing.
Right. I will. If it's for my team to win.
For a dying giant fat kid.
How dare you.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Go Dodgers!
Yeah!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
Coming up right after the top of the hour, we're going to talk about the man who waited, as I understand it, 30 hours in line for the Dunkin' Donuts to open yesterday.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, that's 30 hours to buy donuts.
Well, in his defense, they were only open for 1 minute
just
and then
one
closed.
Day. That's right. Yes. Right.
Nope. Permanent business.
What?
He can go today and walk in with no line whatsoever.
No, that's
so
not possible.
We'll discuss the things that people line up for because it's crazy. That's coming up here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Wednesday.
Well, the Dunkin' Donuts may be open, but they only had a limited number of donuts to sell, right? That's it. Once they're out, they're out.
They just make as many as they need. Yeah.
They'll make more donuts.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. As long as the people are there, just keep making donuts.
They never run out.
I'm
confused by this whole story, though. Yeah. That's the case.
As are we.
All right, let's take a look at the show business news. Speaking of food... and advertising. Hershey, of course, legendary, iconic chocolate factory.
Sure.
We've all had our share of Hershey products, right? The delicious Hershey bars.
Mm-hmm.
The Hershey bars with almonds.
Right.
The Hershey's Kiss.
Sure.
Well.
All great, by the way.
All the great. And Hershey
Love them all.
Has changed its iconic logo. Usually it was just the block letters that were printed on the candy bar there.
Right.
They've taken it away. They have a brand new logo.
Hersh.
For the 21st century. Nope. It is an unwrapped... Hershey's Kiss, and a chocolate Hershey's Kiss.
That's their new logo?
Yeah, and it's got like the little, the little flag that hangs out of a Hershey's Kiss. That's still there, even though the foil isn't.
Okay.
So everyone agrees, it looks like a giant poop with steam coming off of it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they unveiled it this week, and everybody said, hey, wait a minute. It looks like a steaming pile. That's what it looks like.
I don't want to put that in my mouth.
That's your new chocolate
that
logo?
May have been ill-advised.
Hershey could say, wow, this artistic rendering of a chocolate kiss looks like a steaming pile.
That's crazy weird. That they would make a mistake like that. A company that's been around for, what, 125 years or something like that should know something about marketing chocolate.
It looks like a pile of poo with steam coming off of it.
But I'm guessing that they live in a world where the Hershey's Kiss has been, you know, dominant forever. So that's all they see. They don't think like we do.
Yeah, well, the internet is...
thinking the same way we are.
Thinking the same way we are. You can see. Go to hashtag Hershey logo. Go to hashtag is it just me? Hashtag turd. There's a lot of hashtags you can go on Twitter and see many, many statements to that.
I pooped my pants.
And the hashtag Al Roker, too. Apparently it looks like Al Roker's pants.
Ralph, have you been to that, what do they have? They have a theme park in Pennsylvania, Hershey Park?
Oh, my God. Yes. What? Hello, open up a blog.
You have been there?
Yes.
Okay.
Is it an amusement park with like rides and stuff, or is it like a chocolate factory tour or something that you go?
Dear God. Ed Longlasser, do you know nothing?
I do know nothing. I actually know nothing.
It is all of the above. It's a theme park. It's got rides and adventures and stuff, but you can also tour the Hershey Chocolate Factory as well.
Is it a good time? Is it worth seeing?
It's a blast.
Okay.
Every child should visit the chocolatiest place on earth.
And everyone gets a steaming pile of poo in their hand when they...
Chocolate City, USA. The sweetest, I think it's called the sweetest city in America or something like that. Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Yummy.
I got to go there. He's
planning a vacation to Alabama, so maybe he's looking for options.
A fresh Hershey's bar right off the conveyor belt?
Mm.
Now you're talking.
That sounds great.
It's delicious, yeah. Yeah, go to Hershey Park. You'll have a good time.
I will.
All right, let's talk about Dancing with the Stars. Looks like the roster has been revealed. Now we know who will be dancing. Olympian Lolo Jones. Sadie Robertson of the Duck Dynasty family. Antonio Sabato Jr. YouTube star Bethany Mota. Actor Jonathan Bennett from Mean Girls.
Loveline Loverboy, Mike Catherwood.
No, he didn't make the cut this year. Randy Couture is going to be in there. Janelle Parrish from Pretty Little Liars. Alfonso Ribeiro from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Who is he?
He was Carlton.
Carlton.
Yeah. Michael Waltrip, race car driver. Leah Thompson from Back to the Future.
And of course, does he?
No, she did not make the cut either. Designer Betsy Johnson, who's 73 years old. And the oldest member of the cast, 76-year-old Tommy Chong. Can you see Tommy Chong having the focus and wherewithal to learn an entire dance routine?
Not even one.
The Stars week after week?
Not even one.
I can't see that.
He'll have a great time, though.
He will. He'll have a good time. Looks like Joan Rivers is still on life support. Melissa Rivers, her daughter, released a statement saying, extremely grateful for all the love and support we've received, but my mother is still on life support. They are trying to revive her from her chemically induced coma, but apparently that's slow going. So it's a slow process, but she's on the road to recovery, say sources close to the situation. So we'll wait and see. Indeed. And Robin Williams, speaking of ailing comedians, he will be remembered in a PBS special that airs next Tuesday night. It is called Robin Williams Remembered, a Pioneers of Television special. It'll feature Robin's last full-length TV interview and an exclusive new interview with his Mork and Mindy co-star Pam Dauber, who hasn't really spoke out about the death that much since it happened. So if you're a fan of Robin's, you want to check that next Tuesday night on PBS. Today's celebrity birthdays. Steve Jones is 59 years old. Steve Sharippa turns 57. Sean White, the flagrant tomato. He is 28 years old.
It's called the flying tomato.
The flatulent tomato. No. The filleting tomato.
Flying.
The red foo.
Used to be.
Tomato.
Flying tomato. Yeah.
And Charlie Sheen turns 49 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, I'm looking ahead toward this week's Kevin and Bean Show. We still have some terrific guests to come, including the great Hall of Famer Terry Bradshaw on the program tomorrow, talking about the opening of the 2014 NFL season. Love Terry. Always love when we have him on. Seth Green joins us later in the week. Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine is going to be on the program. Dash Myhawk will be here. He plays Bunchy Donovan on Ray Donovan, don't you know? So some good stuff coming up this week here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
So they opened a Dunkin' Donuts Tuesday at 5 a.m. And when they opened the doors, there were 200 people lined up in line.
That's a lot of East Coasters right there who have been jonesing for Dunkin' Donuts ever since they left New Jersey.
I want to remind you again, 5 a.m., 200 people.
Mm-hmm.
That is crazy.
because Dunkin' Donuts is also going to sell donuts later in the afternoon and the next day and the next week and the next month.
I agree with you. Don't think I don't. But let me ask if part of it is I'm a Dunkin' Donuts enthusiast. I love it. It's a back home thing that's going to make me happy. And I'd like to spend that time and have a little celebration, have a little party with like-minded people. It's going to be fun to be down there in that line. Is it possible that that was happening for some?
No.
Right. Fair enough.
It's what, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. That's not a moment of party right there.
It's not a moment of party. Is this any different, Kevin, from the people who are lined up out in front of the Apple store 3 days before they know the new iPhone's going on sale? Because you can still buy the iPhone the next day, but they want to be there and they want to get it as fast as possible.
But I think that's a little bit different because you can't buy it the next day. A lot of times they don't make enough. They sell a bunch, but then they sell out and they don't get them back in. You can order them online or whatever. They don't get them back in for another 3-4 weeks. So okay. I guess maybe there's – but still, in the bigger picture, you could wait 3 weeks to get a phone. You'll be fine.
Okay.
And Dunkin' Donuts to me is, they're good. They're good donuts.
They are good.
Dunkin' Donuts are good donuts.
And there are lots of other places to buy donuts,
right?
Kind of your point as well.
Yes.
Or you could just come back to Dunkin' Donuts at noon and get all the donuts you want. Johnny Hoops is the guy that I made a reference to a few minutes ago. He was the first person through the door on Tuesday morning. He waited for 30 hours outside. But maybe it was worth it because he won free coffee for a year. That was the big grand prize for the first person in line, was free coffee for a year.
Okay, so that's for the first person only, right?
First person only, that's right. The next 99 customers got swag bags.
Swag bags?
Right.
From Dunkin' Donuts.
Yes.
Which include what? Napkins?
It doesn't say.
That's not a good swag bag.
Well, we thought it might be interesting to take calls. This was the Dunkin' Donuts in Santa Monica experience for some people. We thought it might be fun to hear from you to find out what are we asking for? Lamest, dumbest, worst?
I think lamest. Lamest thing you stood in line for.
The lamest thing you stood in line for. These people, many of them, I mean, if there were 200 people in line, not everybody even, less than half of the people even got the swag. So the majority of the people in that line just bought a dollar donut. I mean, that's what they waited for, was a chance to pay a buck for a donut.
Not again, nothing wrong with it.
Right.
But it's nothing super special either. It's not like a cronut or something like that where it's, you know, it's the Cadillac of donuts.
Yeah, and it's also not like buying a $3,000 TV for $600 the day after Thanksgiving either.
Right, that's the other time when people line up is, Black Friday. But but it used to be that you had to line up, like when they would sell concert tickets, for example.
Right.
It used to be that you had to get in line and spend the night and the whole deal. But you sort of don't have to do that anymore.
Well, we want to hear from you to find out what the lamest thing is that you ever stood in line for. The longer the line, the better. The lamer the item, the better. We want to hear from you toll-free at 1-800-520-1067. Our old friend Omar, DJ Omar Khan, steps into the booth now. Omar, this is right up your alley, huh?
We're in a booth? This is like, I don't know. When did the Simpsons movie come out?
Simpsons movie.
Seven years ago?
Yeah, maybe.
Something like that. So they did this promotion at 7-Eleven where they turned a couple of Southern Cali locations into actual Quickie Marts.
Yes, I'm sorry. I do not speak English. Okay.
That's right. I remember that well because I went to ours here in Seattle, too. They did 18 of them around the country.
Okay. And I was super excited about the movie, and I had a couple of buddies, and my wife, she was excited about it, so we decided to go to the one in Burbank. Mm-hmm. And when we get there, there was a line wrapped around the block. We had to wait about a half hour in line to get into the Quickie Mart.
And then the payoff was
I got to buy a six-pack of Buzz Cola. Which was kind of cool, novelty cola.
Sure.
And I bought a squishy.
By the way, let me stop you right there. The Buzz Cola, you know they took the crappiest, cheapest, most generic cola that is made
like
in the world
cola.
Today. Yeah, like that, and then they just put a label on it that said Buzz, right? You know it wasn't like some special drink.
Yeah, and a side note on that, so I put that in storage, and the cans exploded, and it got syrup like all over a bunch of clothes.
Oh, you put it in storage. You went there to get stuff to collect?
To collect, yeah.
Do you have other Simpsons stuff?
No, not
then
a lot.
That's insane.
If you're Ralph and you've got a whole room of Batman,
not really.
Then that makes sense that you would stand in line to get something.
Yeah,
but
no. I got a squishy, and then I got one of those famous, you know, Homer is famous for eating these pink donuts. And I got a pink donut.
Did you save it or eat it?
I ate it.
And
I ate
that. Was that worth it? Did you go, yes, time well spent?
At the time, it was fun, and I had fun with everybody there waiting in line and kind of, you know, and in anticipation for the movie. And now, in retrospect, no.
You're a dumbass.
That was a dumbass, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's exactly what we're looking for. We want to hear your experiences, the lamest thing you ever stood in line for. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next right after this on the Kevin Beach on K-Rock.
One of those.
How many times a week does that happen now, by the way? Lisa's done it. You've done it. Muggs has done it all in the last, 10 days, right?
Yep.
What we're talking about is my Diet Coke was sitting on the ground, and Beer Mug decided that he needed to cover the floor with it, so he kicked it.
He needed to share that floor space with your Diet Coke.
I said, did I do that? He's like, no, I did.
I was like, what
Fantastic.
Did you like?
We are taking your calls right now for the dumbest thing that you ever stood in line with. We were just talking about the huge line in Santa Monica, over 200 people lined up for Dunkin' Donuts. Natalie writes in, guys, the same thing happened to me when the first Krispy Kreme opened in California years ago. I'm ashamed to say that I did wait in a 3-hour line for those. I guess with stuff like that, you get caught up in the hype.
And
you
it's
know?
Kind of fun if you're the first person. I mean, you've never had one, and now you get to be one of the first people that tries it.
You've never had one. Are you waiting in line, though?
Well, 3 hours is okay, considering what some people are doing. Like, I respect 3 hours now. That's no big deal.
Really? Well, let's take some calls at 1-800-520-106, and we got some great calls. Let's start with Denise. She's in Placentia, and she's on line 5 to get us going.
Hi, Denise.
Hi.
You waited in line for what?
My husband, not me, my husband slept in a Target parking lot overnight to get a limited edition Pikachu backpack for our 7-year-old, mm-hmm. and then never gave it to him because he would ruin it. It's still up in my closet.
What?
Oh, my God.
He didn't give it to the 7-year-old because he would ruin it?
He would ruin it, he said. It's still in our closet.
Why do you still have it then?
You mean the husband or the backpack?
Both.
Yeah, both.
Denise, does he think he's going to sell it for a lot of money someday?
I don't know what the plan was. The plan was to give it to the 7-year-old for Christmas, but instead it's up in our closet still.
Was he aware of the 7-year-old's problem of destroying stuff when he went and stood in line for it?
Yeah. No, I think he got caught up in the moment, and he was very excited with his Pikachu backpack. So.
Gotcha.
Wow. So 7-year-old was just a cover.
Thank you for the call, Denise. I appreciate that. And by the way, Denise does bring up an excellent point. And I think we do have to make an exception for parents who are lining up for some toy for Christmas for their kid, right?
If your
kid really, really wants that fill in the blank, whatever era you're talking, Cabbage Patch doll or Furby or Xbox, whatever it is you're dying to get your kid for Christmas, I can sort of understand that you're going to go to extraordinary lengths to wait in line for that.
Because you would do anything for your kid. However,
exactly.
If you don't give it to your kid, now it's insane. Right?
Exactly. Okay. Let's go to Alec La Mirada, line 1. Alec, thank you for holding. Welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show.
What's going on, buddy?
You tell us.
You waited in line for what?
I waited in line for a beer for 5 hours.
What?
A beer.
A beer? A specialty beer?
Yes. It's a triple IPA called Pliny the Younger by Russian River. It's very damn good. It's 11% and got a pretty big cult following.
Uh-huh.
So figured I'd hop in line, and, you know, 3 hours into it, I was pretty much over it. But once you get in, it's kind of worth it.
Once you've spent your 3 hours, then you go, well, I can't go home now because that's a total waste.
Exactly. And you do, there is a chance that they run out of that beer. So at any moment, the keg could blow, and you did waste all your time in line.
Alec, here's my question for you, sir. Are you able to drink other beer while you're waiting in line for this beer?
snow, you're out in the cold in February waiting.
I'm sorry. You're not winning me over
with
this
one. Choice.
Exactly. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. All right. Let's go. Wow, we got some really good ones. Let's go to Tim. Tim is in Irvine. He's up next. He's on line six. Lots of different sorts of things people have waited for.
Hi, Tim.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
You waited in line for what?
Waited 7 hours to see every Back to the Future movie back to back to back.
In a theater?
Why was there a line of 7 hours?
Because a lot of people wanted to see it. It was when the premiere of the third one came out and they decided to make a marathon out of it.
Ah, gotcha.
And it was stinky and smelly by the time it was all done.
Yeah, you think?
Very much.
So looking back on it in hindsight, a great idea or not so great?
Absolutely not.
Okay. I think that's we're kind of 50-50 on whether people think it was worth it or not. He waited in line as long as it took to see all three movies, by the way.
Yeah, true.
Yep. All right, let's go to Jason. He's on line eight. I'm going to argue that his might be worth it. He's calling us from Hermosa Beach.
Hi, Jason.
Hey, Kevin and Lisa May.
Hi.
You waited in line for what?
Well, I'm embarrassed to say, actually, but I waited in line for 6 hours at the Whiskey to audition for Limp Bizkit as a guitar player.
All right, now, as much as Limp Bizkit is sort of a punchline now, that would have been an amazing career move had you made the band, right?
No, it was an amazing career move, but they were already dying hard at the time.
Oh, I see.
That's why they were looking for some guitar player who had something new and something different. Basically, I felt like Fred Durst was going to steal my songs, is what he was trying to do.
That's what
it was all about. I was like 900th in line.
Is that when Wes or whatever his name was quit?
Yeah, I would assume.
I don't really know.
I was 900th in line, and they cut it off at, three before me, so I didn't even get in.
That's the best part of the whole story. And never got in.
Never got in.
Wow. I love it. All right, thanks for the call. Let's do one more. How about Patty? Patty's in Torrance. She's on line three.
All right. Hi, Hello. Patty.
Hi, good morning.
You waited for what?
I waited about 9 hours to see the morning show DJs. And they signed my Christmas CD.
You're referring to us?
I am referring to you guys.
Yeah! But why would it never took 9 hours ever at anything we ever signed?
It was until about 2 or 3 in the morning. It was at the Beverly Center, I believe.
Right.
Ages ago. I mean, it must have been in the 90s, I believe.
But 9 hours?
Yes.
I mean, did the person behind you show up, I don't know, 5 minutes before we started signing?
No, we went right after work. It was me and a friend of mine, and you guys stayed, which I thought was super awesome.
Oh, we wouldn't do that now.
We'd
say peace out now.
And Kevin thanked me for waiting, and I was so starstruck. I just said, "You're welcome."
Wow, where is that tape or CD today?
Oh, I have it in my. I still have CDs. It's in my collection. I don't let anyone touch it.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Thank you for all of your years of support, and we're sorry about the 9 hours. It totally wasn't worth it.
No, it was absolutely worth it, and I wanted to thank you guys for all the years of entertaining me.
All right, you're crazy.
Are we being fired right now? What's happening? It's turning into a eulogy a little bit. All right, thank you, my dear. We appreciate the call. We got to clear those lines right now. What are we looking for? Same phone number, 1-800-520-1067.
We have tickets to the Sunset Strip Music Festival.
Oh, okay. Right.
Rodney is here. Rodney
Bingenheimer.
Yes. He, of course, knows everything about the bands. And so there are bands that are playing there. Jane's Addiction, Empire of the Sun, Tove Lo, Big Data, Cold War Kids, and a whole bunch more. If you want to call in with any trivia question for Rodney about any of those bands.
Wow.
And stump him.
I bet there's so much Empire of the Sun trivia. I'm very excited to see how Rodney does with it.
So 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls.
All right, that was The Outfield with Your Love.
Nope.
K-Rock, Karaoke.
It was the Black Keys with Fever.
106.7, Rodney on the Rock Show.
Kevin and Bean Show.
All right, coming up next, more hits from bands like Robert Palmer.
Nope.
We're not playing any Robert Palmer.
Addicted to Love.
That's a good song, but we're not playing that.
The song came on the MTV. I remember video of that song with those girls. Okay. They're all dancing behind him.
Let me explain.
That red lipstick on.
Right, it's very, very attractive. Let me explain to our listeners.
White, and they're just dance behind.
Okay,
him.
Thank, okay. Thank you, Rodney.
Instruments like there were his backup okay. band.
Okay, Rodney Bingenheimer is a radio legend.
Rodney Bingenheimer,
right? He's been working at K-Rock for 40 years. He does a late night Sunday
disco,
show.
English disco was on.
Right, used to run a club, and
Sunset Strip.
He's a tiny bit obsessed with
Robert
80s
Palmer
music.
Palmer used to come there. Back
no, we understand. Let me finish here, Rodney.
David but, Bowie would come.
Okay,
by
but right now he's here because we're going to Rodney. Please let me get this out. He's going to give away tickets to you. You're, if you can stump Rodney with a trivia question about one of the acts that's going to be playing at the Sunset Strip Music Festival.
Oh, right, Sunset Strip.
Right, that's your hood. Right, that's your you're the mayor
hood.
Of the Sunset Strip.
That
I know, Rodney.
The mayor of the Sunset Strip.
That's what Bean
that's
just
what
said.
They called
right.
me.
Right.
There's a documentary out. You want to see it about
fascinating
me.
But sad movie. Right.
Called the Mayor of the Sunset Strip.
Right. So September 20th and 21st, if you all have a right. trivia question about Jane's Addiction, Empire of the Sun, Tove Lo, Big Data, Cold War Kids, any of the bands playing the festival, you just ask Rodney. And if you stump him, you go into the drawing. Someone wins tickets and passes
the Bud
Light backstage.
I'm the Mayor of the Sunset Strip.
That's right. All right. Yes. Who's our
all
first
right.
contestant?
The Bean.
Okay.
Yeah, wigwam bam.
Wigwam bam, indeed.
My show's more professional than yours.
That's true. It probably is. Yeah. All right, now, Rodney, Jane's Addiction did perform in the 80s. None of the other bands performed in the 80s, okay? So I'm just giving you a heads up because I know how you are sometimes. You get a little bit obsessed. So try to listen to the question and come up with the best answer you can, okay?
Remember Soft Cell, Tainted Love?
Yes.
That came out in the 80s.
It did, yeah.
Right.
That's
that has nothing to do with what we're doing.
But what we're saying is most of these questions will not
I
come from the
80s. I enjoyed that song.
Okay. Miguel in Santa Clarita.
All right.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
All good. Right.
Good morning, listening.
Good morning.
Stump Rodney.
Hey, Rodney, where does Tove Lo originate from? What country?
Tove Lo.
Yeah, she was just in on the Kevin and Bean Show just last week. We had a nice interview with her. You should know this one, Rodney.
Country.
Mm-hmm.
Big country. All right. Big that's, country.
That's not the name of an actual country,
with a
though.
It's a song in the album.
It's a band.
Big country. In a big country.
Is it Big Country, Miguel?
No, it's not. It's just from Sweden.
Sweden, right.
All right, what I win.
You got it wrong, so he qualifies.
Sweden is a big country, though.
For the drawing. Technically, that's true.
So what I win.
But nothing.
All right.
Let's go to Curtis in Northridge. Hi.
Godhead.
Hey there. So almost a little over 25 years ago, Jane's Addiction put out a very controversial album cover that wasn't carried in stores because it featured an image of what?
The flock of seagulls.
Close.
Does that make sense to you, Rodney?
A flock of seagulls.
Would they put a flock of seagulls on a Jane's Addiction album?
That's why they wouldn't stock it. It was confusing.
You're confusing.
Buy the wrong album.
Curtis, is a flock of seagulls?
All right. It is not. It is nude mannequins.
Nude mannequins.
Of
great question, Curtis.
Nope.
No, not of a flock of seagulls
right.
at all.
What did he win?
Curtis is in the drawing. He did stump Rodney. We'll find out if he wins the tickets. Who's up next?
Next is Freddie in West Covina. Hi there.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Freddie.
Kevin.
Freddie's dead.
Kevin Bean, Lisa May. Hey, I'm asking, which city did Big Data originate from?
Berlin. All right.
An actual city.
An actual city.
is it Berlin,
Sex
Freddie?
I'm a...
Nice try. No, it's Brooklyn, New York.
Brooklyn.
That's what
now,
I said.
Rodney, you said Berlin because there's a band named Berlin, but that's not what we were looking for. You know that. We weren't just naming bands with cities in their names, right?
Big Audio Dynamite.
No. Big Data. Where are they from?
All right, Freddie, okay. You're in the drawing. You stuffed
right.
Roddy.
Freddie's
confused. We have time for a couple more. Who's next?
Let's go to Javier in Huntington Park.
All right.
Hi, Javier.
Hey, what's up, party people? What's up, Lisa Main?
What's up with you?
Take it easy, Lisa. What just happened to Lisa?
We just had a thing.
A little thug life happening right now. Go Raiders.
That was a strange.
That was Godhead.
That was a strange transformation.
All right,
Javier, what's your question for Rodney?
What member of Jane's Addiction was married to Carmen Electra?
Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Is that a member of Jane's Addiction?
Frankie.
Is the answer Frankie, Javier?
No, it's Dave Navarro.
All right.
Oh, in the voice of Rodney. Nicely done.
I like
Navarro.
It.
All right, I'm afraid we're out of time there, Ronnie.
No, we're not. Who else won?
I'm sorry, we really are. You didn't win anything, but Javier is in the drawing, as is Miguel. Curtis made the drawing, Freddie as well. Who is going to win the tickets for the Sunset Strip Music Festival?
Spandau Ballet.
All right.
The winner.
Less from you.
Is Freddie.
Freddie is our winner. Congratulations, Freddie.
Thank you.
All right, he's happy.
He is happy.
Oh, yeah, I'm happy. I'm going to get drunk.
Yeah.
Excellent. Right.
Putting on the Ritz.
Why would you say that?
Let's all stop running now.
Yeah, wigwam bam.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Fool me. I'm not fooled by you people.
At 8:56.
Fool me.
We have time for a moment with you, Ralph.
Sure.
All right.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Is it more of a psychological challenge to coach college than it would be in the pros? I mean, in the pros, it's basically the cream of the crop. They're all there. They're all driven. In college, they're still kids, some of them, and can screw up and can... Is it harder to coach them that way? Is that how it happened?
A moment with Kevin.
Is that how that happened, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Who are we talking to? Does anyone remember who that was?
That was Sark.
That was Coach Sark?
Yep.
Wow.
Wow.
Did we talk to him?
We talked to him when he was named as the head coach of USC. Yeah.
All right.
Well, you're going to have a chance to do better, Kevin, because Coach Mora from the UCLA Bruins is going to be joining us right after the top of the hour.
How do I talk?
So you want to try to ask that same question again? Find out what's harder
to coach, Sam?
Seriously, how do I?
It's like when you hear Kevin go sometimes in a question. It's like going deep sea fishing, and first you hear that like that first bite, and then. You just hear the reel, just spinning and spinning as that fish goes deeper and deeper into ocean. And then at some point.
At any point, do I start reeling it in, though?
Not really.
Not usually?
No, it's just the fish just dies adrift at sea.
That's kind of sad, actually.
And then you kind of haul it up in the boat with one of those hooks and club it over the head with a baseball bat and just throw it in the cooler.
Well, we will talk Bruins football with Coach Mora coming up. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday.
Oh, Juan Pablo's in the news. Juan Pablo. Oh, Juan Pablo.
Is that the bachelor dude?
Yes, the bachelor dude.
All right.
He and his girlfriend, Nikki Farrell, are still together.
It's okay.
Is that okay? Nikki. It's okay. Nikki. They said it wouldn't last, those two.
Yeah.
But they're still together, and they're going on the TV show Couples Therapy on
PH1. Oh, no.
So that they can learn better to communicate with each other.
You start the circuit where you meet each other on TV, and then you have problems on TV, right. and then you get them solved on TV.
Yep. That's how it works, Kevin. That's how the world works.
Ralph, you need to call, please, off the air, your little friend Petros Papadakis, and find out about his afternoon he spent with Juan Pablo yesterday.
What?
Juan Pablo was a guest on PMS yesterday.
Oh, I had no idea.
And they were very excited, tweeting out photos of them.
Why did they get the good guests? We don't.
He looked like he was in love, I'll tell you.
Juan Pablo.
They can have Juan Pablo.
He's okay.
I'm good with that.
You guys missed this week's Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah, we did.
My favorite girl, the girl who the previous week talked about someone having a guilty conscience. And the week before that, said she was torn between something. It was 80-40, which way she was going to go.
Yeah. I feel like I'm the wrong person to make fun of her.
She she went to a cave in Mexico and saw stalagmites.
Well,
a lot of stalagmites were hanging from the roof.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
She was impressed by all the natural nature that was surrounding her.
What's her name?
Her name is Lacey.
Does she have a competing party bus company? Do we know? Have we looked into that?
Lacey is a little bit of magic each and every week. She's my favorite person on television right now. All right, let's talk about other things besides The Bachelor, although it chagrins me to say that. John Stamos, he's working. He just got signed up to star in a new ABC mid-season drama called Members Only, where he will play a hedge fund billionaire.
I can see that.
I can, too. As if the guy doesn't have everything already. Now he's going to have $1 billion on television.
Well, at least then ladies would look at him.
I hope this means maybe he's getting into bed with ABC and they're going to bring back that Full House show. That's what I'm talking about. Alec Baldwin is working as a co-host on Turner Classic Movies. He is going to be showing movies that existed before censors started to tone down all the content of films in the 30s and 40s. Subject matter including sexuality, prostitution, illegal drug use, abortion, and extreme violence. Films from the 30s and 40s.
It's shocking when you come across one of those old movies and you see the stuff they did before they cleaned it up.
Yeah. Alec Baldwin is a good host for that, because when he is not showing movies, he's beating up paparazzi. He got into a fight in the Hamptons with a photographer who apparently had been harassing his wife for some time, according to him.
There's a new story now?
There's a new story.
It's hard to keep track.
He saw the photographer and quickly ran over and threw him in a headlock, and police were called, and you know, they apparently got it all sorted out, but...
And the terrorist, you know, situation.
That's right. And it was a terrorist situation. And remember Faith No More?
Sure.
You want it all, but you can't have it?
Epic.
Yes. Yes?
They are coming back.
Really?
They didn't have a studio album since 1997.
That's a little break.
They are in the studio recording their first full-length effort since that year. That album was called Album of the Year, 1997. And they are in the works as we speak, recording new music. They'll be out on April of 2015 is the release date for their next album. So circle the date. Get you some Faith No More.
April the 15th.
No, April of 2015.
Oh, April of 2015.
Yeah, okay. So next year in April, you'll have new Faith No More music.
And that that video for that song Epic that you're talking about, I mean, that was one of the all-time classics on MTV.
It's a monster.
Remember?
It's a monster, yeah.
Had the little scene with the goldfish all flopping around at the end.
Yeah.
A lot of reaction.
What was going on over there? We bought you all the time in the world.
I'm not doing it. I can't do this.
I had it.
Freaking Muggs is standing here searching for the cupcake song.
I had it.
For a half hour.
Yeah, but I got it when it was important. And it was ready when it was ready to go.
It was ready when it was ready to go.
All right, I'm out of here.
Me too.
Let's have it.
Play it.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
F you.
Steve Jones, 59 years old today. Steve Sharippa, from The Sopranos is 57. Sean White is 28. Rita Volk, Amy from MTV's Faking It is 24. And Charlie Sheen, winning, is 49 years old today. Did you see his ice bucket challenge?
I didn't.
When he turned over a bucket of $100 bills over his head, $10,000 came raining down. And he challenged Chuck Lorre, his old boss, to do the same, to give that to ALS.
I thought that was entertaining.
It was entertaining.
Did you see Charlie's that? Known for being very generous.
As long as the charity got the money, that's all I care about.
Did you see that ALS withdrew
their lawsuit?
Their lawsuit for ice bucket challenge?
Trying to patent or trademark the ice bucket challenge.
They got a lot of bad press.
As well they should have.
You know what? Never mind.
Maybe we'll be over here counting our millions. Thanks so much for everyone. Thank you, everyone. Good night. That's what they should have said.
Yep.
Ralph, I know we're out of time here, but
we're beyond out of time.
You're the one who brought up to us your concern that we shared with ALS trademarking that kind of, we thought, ruining a good thing that had raised $100 million for them. We heard from the ALS people. They contacted us after that report that you gave and said, look, there's a big misunderstanding. The reason we're doing it is because there are people who are using the name to raise money for other things. It's become a scam already. People are putting ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, and we can shut them down if we have the name trademark that they're using to illegally raise money.
Mm-hmm. And did we buy that?
That was the reason that they gave for why they do it. But if that's the reason they gave, then why are they withdrawing it now? So now it seems like it's kind of sketchy again all over.
That's right. And now I hope ALS becomes a bigger disease.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
I'm not positive.
I hope it becomes resistant against
treatments. Nope.
Yeah, yeah. How about that?
I don't think that's where we're going.
I'm going to go take a hot water challenge. How about that? And take some money back.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. USA! Probably, I think not.
Never liked Lou Gehrig anyway.
Fire beer mug.
That's right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show with speed.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 942.
I'm just saying, remember Pearl Harbor, Ralph. That's all I'm saying. Wow. Remember Pearl Harbor.
Wow.
Hey, Ralph is here. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday. What's going on?
Black Adam!
What?
Black
what? Say again?
Adam.
Black Adam?
You heard me.
What is Black Adam?
Let's think what that could be. That is for real.
Black Adam.
That is for now.
Is that?
That is happening.
A superhero?
Is that the superhero, the Adam?
That is a fit. No.
Black Adam.
Corolla got the surgery?
No. Big casting news.
Yeah! What's going on?
It's official.
Yes?
Dwayne The Rock Johnson has been announced. We'll play Black Adam.
Oh, my God.
What is...
really? Really?
What's Black Adam?
Black Adam is, of course, the arch nemesis of Captain Marvel, a.k.a. Shazam.
Why?
Because many years before Billy Batson was given the magic word Shazam... by the wizard Shazam, which transforms him into Captain Marvel. Back in ancient Egyptian times, he first gave that word to Teth Adam because he thought he was pure of heart. But in reality, the powers of Captain Marvel transformed him and corrupted him and turned him into evil Black Adam.
That's the dumbest paragraph that's ever been said.
Black Adam! And now we know Dwayne The Rock Johnson will be playing Black Adam in the Shazam movie.
I don't care.
But who will play Captain Marvel in the Shazam
movie? I don't even know what that is.
You have to come up with a pretty powerful Captain Marvel to battle Dwayne The Rock Johnson
sure.
as Black Adam.
Ralph, you teased us yesterday by saying that you were going to have some very big Marvel news for us this week, but this isn't it, right?
Well, first of all, Bean, this is DC, so I guess no, this wouldn't be very big Marvel news.
Okay.
I was with you on the question.
Because Marvel Comics
right.
and Captain
completely
Marvel
separate.
Are completely
Understood.
Separate.
Right.
Because okay. Captain Marvel, a.k.a. Shazam, is actually a DC Comics property.
So we get two blockbuster stories this week in the world of comics. And this
next
is
week,
one of them?
Next week, I'll have some Captain America news. That's different.
Okay. Not Captain different. Marvel, Captain America. Okay.
Obviously.
Oh, my goodness. And Hot Fudge, Holy Moly. That's exciting news. And also, Billy Batson always says Holy Moly. So you see, it all comes around again.
Wow.
Two words, get over it.
Come on. It's big news. Now we know Captain Marvel's nemesis, Black Adam, will be Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
That is huge.
There's no word on who's going to play Shazam, though.
I know, it's going to keep me up tonight.
If you've got Dwayne The Rock Johnson as the bad guy, who do you cast as the good guy in that scenario?
Michael Cera?
Nope,
again,
good choice.
I think you're missing the point. Mm,
good choice.
Thank you.
Steve-O?
Missing the point. I think again. Maybe that Joe Manganiello.
Oh, sure. The dog from that show?
What?
I know what you're talking about.
Oh, the werewolf True from
Blood.
True Blood?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a pretty powerful dude.
Mm-hmm.
He's dreamy, too.
Seriously.
Yeah, seriously. Hey, Bastille is coming to town. They're doing Jimmy Kimmel Live outdoors there on Hollywood Boulevard where Jimmy does his outdoor concerts on September the 18th.
So what?
Well, you can see them there. I think that would be nice to do. And then they're also going to be performing on the Today Show on October the 6th in Rockefeller Plaza. Oh, I thought maybe Roddy had something else to say there.
Mm-hmm. Roddy's delighted.
And then they're going to kick off their tour in Philadelphia. The Bad Blood Last Stand Tour. And then that will wrap up here in Los Angeles on November the 20th. So
obviously.
You got a chance to see Bastille.
Right
live.
Now, they're right
did
now
we, do we have Bastille live? Do we have the...
They're rehearsing, yeah. Just left some bugs to work out.
Did you guys watch the Harry Houdini movie with Adrian Brody?
No.
I recorded it. I've not yet seen it. I heard some good things about it,
Houdini.
Though.
Right.
World's greatest magician.
Right.
Escape artist extraordinaire. At one time, Kevin, you'll be interested to know, he was the most famous person on the planet.
Is that
That's
right?
Pretty cool.
Wow.
I checked it out.
Did you? Okay.
Pretty amazing.
You liked it. Okay.
He was the world's biggest celebrity at one point in history. Did very well for the network. It was on the History Channel. 3.7 million total viewers.
Anyway, what a night it was.
So, did very well for itself. I mean, you can expect to see that
repeated on that network again. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Guitarist Steve Jones is 59 years old today. I miss Jonesy.
I do too.
And his jukebox.
Loved his show. Well, yeah. Liked him as a person. Super fun guy.
He was very very kind to me the few times he would come in here. Remember, I would do an impression of him.
And yes. He was very, the Jones off was awesome.
He was very gracious and had a great sense of humor about that.
Yeah. Even though he had no idea who any of us were.
Exactly. But I miss seeing him in the hallway, and he was a good dude.
He was.
Steve Sciarippa from The Sopranos is 57 years old today. Shaun White celebrates his 29th birthday. Rita Volk, Amy from MTV's Faking It, is 24 years old. And actor Charlie Sheen is 49 years old. Has anyone ever watched that anger management television program?
No.
Well, we've got like 400 more episodes coming up.
Yeah.
So maybe we should start. He's 49 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show, we have a brand new internet roundup for you. We have Dash Myhawk, who plays Ray Donovan. I mean, on Ray Donovan, he plays Bunchy Donovan.
Yes, he does.
He's going to be coming in the
studio. I'm not gay, Ray.
And the NFL kicks off tomorrow night. How about that?
We're going to go Buffalo.
No, I don't think Buffalo's playing Ronnie.
We're going to talk to Terry Bradshaw.
Oh, cool.
About that tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.